I don't like this business of preaching to fans.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
You know anything else about soccer?
Not much. All I know is I got a lot of balls.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're in the stadium watching a game on TV. It's just the guy's not good enough. The guy is just not good enough.
Simon, I don't know if you're big into New Year's resolutions, but, you know, wondering if maybe you pledged to come out of your shell a little bit in 2015.
Kind of pisses me off, to be honest.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC Channel 94 and MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe,
and the reason
a sad... Sad day.
No,
here,
you
Simon.
Actually sound very cheery.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was going to explain why you're cheery. Well, maybe you might not be cheery.
I was going to say it's a sad day, but here's the deal. It's a great day in New York City. It's sunny. It's warm outside. The birds are singing.
It's raining a little bit.
It didn't rain at all. It never
it's raining
rained.
On
not
you,
once.
David
yeah,
Goss.
And,
that voice is the voice look, of the guy who will be canned. After this show,
I was just
going to
say we're going to say goodbye. You know, we'll have a goodbye beer, go off into the sunset. The gas man, Goss, however you want to put
Simon,
it. Look,
are you going to let yourself to a small little thumble of red wine?
No, I'm not coming to celebrate you.
No?
This is your downfall.
Look,
this
we might as well explain. Look,
yes.
it's a big show for us.
He's
here.
Not leaving because he
we
wants
had a,
to.
We had a great show. Kyle Beckerman interview completed. We did the whole thing. He was
Kyle
great.
Was great.
Kyle was great as always. He let us in on his new book club venture that I suggested that he's definitely not going to do. He just read some Ernest Hemingway.
I mean,
he told
Kyle
us,
Beckerman is the get of the week
yeah.
with mm-hmm. RSL versus NYCFC mm-hmm. over the weekend.
Preach.
Jason Christ returned.
Preach.
It's the get of the weekend.
And then we hit stop on the recorder after a great interview, and it just went straight downhill. And who do you blame that on?
The producer, the guy
certainly
who's
the
running
producer.
The knobs.
Yeah.
The controls.
The sound engineer.
Yes, the sound engineer. Look, we had a great Kyle Beckerman interview. We'll do our best to relive it. And then we'll put together a best of the Gas Man for next episode.
I hope it's recording right now, quite honestly.
Yeah, that'd be great.
No,
it'd be
I mean,
great for us.
I think our listeners should also chime in as to whether they think this is a fireable offense.
Yeah.
Look, they are as much part of the show as
yeah.
we are.
We lost a great interview.
It's their show.
And if Simon Borg does anything that's a fireable offense, or I, you can also chime in on that as well. I'd be very interested to hear your takes on that. Simon's looking a little bit less sure of himself.
I think Simon would rather enjoy more of a dictatorial position.
Yes, yes. I think that's the position he imagines
David, you
himself
failed
in.
Us. You absolutely,
absolutely failed.
Have you ever been fired from a job?
That's a good question.
No.
You had to have been fired.
No, I
you
have.
Don't last
one
long on jobs.
Instance, that's not true.
That isn't true.
But I had
He's been here for a good amount of time.
Exactly. And I've been everywhere because I have 9 part-time jobs at the same time. I had one instance where I missed a day of work because it literally wasn't on my calendar. I know. I was mortified. And they asked me if I wanted to continue, and I just never responded. And they never put me back. Yeah, so that's
had
not...
Had we known that? Had
yeah.
we well, checked well. That reference?
They don't go down on the reference list.
Why would you never respond?
I don't know. It's just the moment of...
You just walk away. It's
because
as
someone once taught
Simon.
Me, once the moment goes...
Yeah.
Have you ever been fired?
I've never been fired from a job, no. You've
Have
clearly
you,
been
Simon?
Fired. Yeah.
yeah
oh,
from the,
yeah,
IR,
yeah,
from the Maltese IRS?
Yeah, he's cooking the books, man. He's cooking
I
the
will,
books.
I will not say where I was fired, but I was fired 3 days into the job.
Whoa.
And not up to snuff.
Can I tell you this? Can I get... Oh, no, tell us.
No, and then I used my political ties to...
Clearly back, in Malta.
To get back into the job.
I was going to guess it was like something where he was like... At like Brooks Brothers as a seller, and he was just like incompetent, but like his dad's friend owns the place.
I think it's much more nefarious than that. There's definitely like, first of all, Simon's dad probably doesn't know guys who own Brooks Brothers stores. Guys
Whoa.
Who I'm just saying,
making a
I was
judgment.
Gonna say, guys who are
class
like
warfare.
Selling, not class warfare.
It
was
total class
that.
Warfare. Bottom line, David,
yeah.
you need to know what it feels like to get fired.
Sorry.
I believe you should get fired for this. I want our listeners to tell us whether this is a fireable offense. He lost an interview.
I like the idea of
you wasted
it out
Kyle Beckerman's
You know what
yes,
we're going to do?
Here,
you know we're going to get to soccer talk right now. I'm going to cut this off.
Well,
we're
can
gonna,
I just
the
say,
poll of the week is going to be whether
okay.
or not you should be fired.
And I like the idea of all of this because if I don't get fired, I'm still here. But if I do, that's so easy to sue you guys over.
Yeah, and it's
that
of,
you put it out there on
a
television radio
there's
show.
There's some publicity aspects to it there. Look, there's a lot
Checkmate,
going on MLS.
Simon.
We're going to talk about what Kyle Beckerman said. Hopefully we'll do him justice. But before we get there, let's start out with the game on Wednesday night. Sporting KC 4, New England 2. Dave... make sure you make good points here because this is probably the end for you. A big win for Sporting KC. I don't think a lot of people saw this coming. They had a lot of injuries on the back line. People wondering what is up with the attack. Will Dom Dwyer find himself? Who is this Christian Nemeth guy, and is he just a flash in the pan? Turns out he's not. He gets a couple in this game. Benny Feilhaber with a penalty. I want to get your opinion on that call in just a second, Simon. And Dom Dwyer with an amazing goal. New England got run over, in a sense, by a couple heavy bits of pressure from Sporting KC. I don't think it was all game long, although this game was back and forth. Is this a sign from KC, or is this an off night for New England?
I think it's Kansas City's attack finally coming together, I felt. I think Dom Dwyer has been off most games. Christian Nemeth has been off most games. Today, on that day, they were firing all together, and I think they were all high quality. The Dom Dwyer was a high quality finish. The Christian Nemeth header was a high quality finish. Nemeth is a quality player. I mean, he's a guy. Liverpool went after him for a reason.
I don't think the quality's ever been in doubt with Nemeth,
right?
It's the consistency. And then he'd do it in the preseason, too. He'd score two in one game, and then disappear.
And the question becomes, consistency is the issue for all of the attacking players.
Benny Feilhaber, they all came together this game.
But is it going to be
– in this game.
Are they going to be able to find ways where one guy's on and the other guys aren't and they can win a game? Or does it have to be that everyone comes together for that one game and they just hope that they get in the playoffs and that's a playoff game?
Well, look, when Graham Zusi comes back, I think you look at that front line and all of a sudden it got a lot better. Benny Feilhaber in behind pulling the triggers. I think Sonny Mustavar is starting to show that maybe he can be the answer at defensive mid, which they haven't had since Uri Rossell left. You put Nagamura in between. That's good. On the other side, I want to know about this PK, Simon. I assumed you watched it, being the instant replay guru here. For me, this is never, ever a PK. And I understand.
Let's explain to the listeners how it
happened. So Dom Dwyer's in the box. He's turning. He's on kind of the side of the box. He's headed toward the end line. He turns away from goal.
To go the opposite direction.
Gonsalves, he does get an arm on his shoulder.
Defender,
knocks him a little bit off balance, but Dwyer is up and playing again as if nothing happened almost immediately. If there's any disadvantage, it's completely fleeting. So,
well, I felt that Gonsalves got a touch on the ball. But look, as a referee in that moment, I think you have to say, are you calling advantage or not? And is it a foul? Absolutely, it's a foul. Now, so then the next step is, are you calling an advantage? And the referee here did not. He felt that Dom Dwyer was hampered enough that it didn't make any point to call advantage at that point. That was a foul. If that happens in midfield, it's a foul.
No, I agree. But
doesn't a lot that happens – and I guess this isn't a good way of arguing this, but I think this is the comment that would come out.
It's a terrible way to
– is a lot that happens in the box that would be a foul at midfield isn't called.
I think that goes back to what we were kind of talking about when we had our referee episode, and that is game management and almost like a common sense factor. You know what I mean? Like – if it's not a clear penalty and you're just saying, okay, that's a foul at midfield, therefore this is a penalty, I don't know that logic for me matches up. I still think that the rules are a little bit different in the penalty areas, and they should be because that's a game-changing call.
So what you're asking is you want a Dom Dwyer to hit the ground, to hit the deck. Because if he falls, then you're okay with the penalty.
Dom Dwyer did exactly. Sure.
Hold on. If he falls, are you okay with the penalty? Then, okay.
Because
then
the play's dead at that point. But I applaud Dom Dwyer for staying on his feet. And then you see Jermaine Jones and him yapping back and forth afterwards. Jay Heaps head straight down the tunnel after abusing the fourth official. I mean, this changed the game. It was just before halftime.
But I think we want referees to call penalties even when the players stay on their feet. Yep. Otherwise, you're encouraging a culture where players go down easy.
I totally agree. Because then otherwise, not only do they go down easy, you're asking the player to self-referee, which I think has always been an issue is, he did such a good job to stay up. It shouldn't be his job to decide whether to go down or stay up. It should be his job to play and the referee's job to make the call regardless of how the player reacts.
So you're with Simon. This was a penalty.
I brought Dave around.
Yeah, except I don't know that this is a clear foul.
Yeah.
So that I'm fine with the staying up and Dom not going down. I don't know if it's a clear foul. It's the hand on the shoulder and that's the foul? Okay.
And I think what happened here is it's a makeup call because there was an issue with Nagamura a little bit before. Dom Dwyer got called for a couple fouls that were similar in which he gets his arm around Jermaine Jones and he wasn't happy about those. So for me, this is a call that's made from the calls made before. Anyway, I don't agree with it. Jermaine Jones in this game, by the way, didn't look like a center back. He had some serious issues with Sporting KC's front guys, so we'll see what happens with him there. Let's move on to the weekend. This was a good one.
We're not going to get a U.S. Open Cup drop.
Oh, yeah,
first?
We probably should.
Big
you were there
Lamar
last night.
Hunt, yeah. U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, the third round is set. What is it? May 27th. These will be played. The big game, the matchup that everybody will be looking for is two USL pro teams. Sorry, USL teams. I'm still living in Simon Borg's 1998. That would be Portland.
Then you'd be in the A-League.
Timbers 2. Yeah, that's true. Timbers 2 and the Seattle Sounders 2. They will go head-to-head in this third round. That's a big matchup. Red Bulls 2, not there.
No, I went and watched their game. It wasn't very well played, but Jersey Express played very well. Congratulations to them. Make sure to look it up. Go on ussoccer.com and see if there's a game near you to go out. It's a fun tournament. It's enjoyable.
Red Bulls 2 went out, and so did LA Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, you can't go out if you're those two teams, especially from those two markets,
and
go down to inferior competition.
Well, I don't know that you can claim they're lower inferior league competition because you've never seen them play. But what happens is you have two teams that a large part of their roster week in and week out is MLS players loaned down. And if you're put on the bench for a U.S. Open Cup game, you're cup tied. So the LA Galaxy and the Red Bulls aren't going to loan their MLS players who have been playing for some of them week to week for these teams.
So who plays for Red Bulls too?
So no one came from the MLS team.
And who played?
So it was all players who were on their USL roster as well as some academy kids. They had two 16-year-olds on their bench. So it was more of a developmental roster. And especially for Los Dos, it's a little different. For Red Bulls too, this team's never played together before. So this is their ninth game all time. They've never played without the MLS guys. So it's still a coming together process.
Here's a little news on that front. Had Red Bulls 2-1, they would have faced the New York Cosmos. Of course, that won't happen. New Jersey Express will. The game was supposed to be played in Jersey, though. It was supposed to be played in Newark at the New Jersey the Institute of Technology out there. I was about to say
you
it.
Felt the whole thing. You don't have to say the whole
thing. Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. That will not happen. There was some talk on Twitter about perhaps the Cosmos, quote-unquote, buying the game and maybe the Express selling the game. Well, that's not supposed to happen in the U.S. Open Cup anymore. It did not happen. It's going to be played at the Cosmos ground because NJIT is going to be under construction next week and therefore is not fit for a U.S. Open Cup game. So
when you say the Cosmos ground, it's actually St. John's University.
Yeah, well, you know, what they call
it. The former stomping ground and the start of the career of a Mr. Simon L. Borg.
L?
I don't know. I had to go for a
make up his middle name. Let us know what you think his middle name might be. I want guesses on that one. Anyway, let's get on to Friday. Columbus-Chicago is going to start this thing off on UDN at 8 p.m. Eastern. And I look at this game and I wonder if it's a rivalry. And I don't know. Like, it just hasn't gotten kind of the buzz that a lot of other games have. Even Toronto-Columbus has gotten a buzz. There's been traveling fans, big numbers from Toronto, even a little bit of animosity. Simon, you're the expert here.
They had a buzz back in the day, lost its buzz. I think it needs to regain its buzz.
Needs to regain its buzz. Perhaps
what has to happen for it to regain its buzz?
I think it needs big games. Big games. Yeah.
This is a little bit early, so it's not a huge game. I'm going to shoot out a tweet, actually, see what people think about this one, see if we can't get some Crew fans and Chicago fans. We'll revisit in just a bit. But the big news, I think, around at least these two teams for me is Mike McGee. This is a former most valuable player. It seems like he won't be back this week, but he'll be back next week. Let's look ahead a little bit. Where will he fit in context of this team? Simon loves David Akam. He's not coming out of the lineup.
Certainly, I also love David Akam.
Harry Ship.
I love Kennedy Igbuanike.
Big Igbuanike fan?
Kennedy
really?
Fan.
See, because I was going to say I think that he could be the guy that comes in for Igbuanike. Mike McGee's at his best. He showed it during that MVP season when he's in the box. When he's the final touch. When he's the finisher. I don't think Igbuanike is that guy. And I don't think with Akam on the field that you need Igbuanike to be the driver, so to speak, of the pace.
To me, McGee comes in off the bench for either Maloney at attacking mid or for Ship at wide mid. That's how you use McGee, at least for the first month.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be tough for him to start in the beginning. But between Ship, Igbuanike, and McGee, I think you have three players for two positions. And you can kind of rotate because I don't think Ship – right now, I think Ship's struggling week to week having to be the guy. And I think it would be good to be able to release a little bit of pressure off
him. He's not being asked to be the guy.
He's not being asked to be the guy, but he
doesn't have to be the guy.
Well, who else? David Akam is, but outside of David, Maloney's not right now.
You have Maloney on the ball, Akam on the ball, so Ship has to wait his turn.
From what? He has to wait his turn? You think
on the ball. So he's not going to dominate games as he did when they didn't have Maloney or Akam.
Yeah, look, I'm in between both of you, and I'm not the Akam lover that both of you are. I think he's really explosive. I think he's really exciting. I think right now he's Dominic Aduro. He's a guy who runs away from everybody and doesn't have the final product in the box. So until he gives me that final product, I withhold judgment on him. We'll see what happens to Mike McGee. Let us know, Fire fans. Let us know, Crew fans. What's up with this rivalry? Does it manifest itself in the stands? Do you guys have rivalries on Twitter? What do you how does this work? Because this seems like the rivalry that both teams would latch on to. There's not much else in terms
also,
of proximity.
4 points between the two of them. Chicago Fire game in hand. So two
isn't
teams.
The whole league within 4 points
yeah,
of each other, David?
This is all for position. Look, LA Galaxy not in the playoff field right now. They are going to host the Houston Dynamo 10:30 Eastern on Friday night. Also on UDN.
Was I mean to him?
Yeah, you've been a little bit mean here. But we'll let the people at home decide whether or not he keeps his job. I'm currently tipping toward the Dave camp.
Of course. You guys
we're friends. Yeah, it's a friendship thing, Simon. And I don't know if I have to tell you about friends, but yeah. Yeah,
if you invited him on your vacations, maybe he would be in your camp, Simon.
I know. Simon is going on vacation next month. Where, we're not exactly sure. He won't tell us, but I'd love to hear your guess. But like I said, LA hosting Houston, and I have this. I always look at LA and I'm like, are they when they play bad? I think is Bruce Arena just doing the rope a dope? Is he just like he just trotting it out there, trying to get draws, trying to play the game safe? And they're going to turn it on in the second half of the season? Or are they actually not that good? And right now I'm wondering if they're not that good. I know they don't have Robbie Keane. I know they don't have Steven Gerrard. He won't be there till July. I know they don't have, Omar from week to week. But when those guys come back, is this team really going to be good? Are they really going to be top of the Western Conference quality?
I mean, I think so. I think Robbie Keane changes their whole dynamic. It remains to be seen what kind of impact Steven Gerrard has. But we've seen what Robbie Keane does to this team. His movement, he comes back into midfield, his post-up play. I mean, all of that.
Yeah, but we've seen Robbie Keane with Marcelo Sarvas and Landon Donovan.
I know what you're saying, but we did see him for a little bit at the beginning of the season, and they weren't great, but they were better offensively.
Sure.
And I think that he's still going to be able to play well. I think also he's a big key for Giassi Zardes, which we talked about. I think he unlocks him. And it's not just those guys. Robbie Rogers and Donovan's been hurt. So you have Badjo Husidic playing left back, which no one's comfortable with. I don't think Tommy Meyer had a tough game. So there's a lot of missing pieces. And if anyone in the league can turn it on later in the season, it's Bruce Arena, because we saw it with the CCL starts a few times, that they start MLS play slow, and then he's able to turn it on and get his team going at the end of the season.
Steven Gerrard will be a big piece for them. I mentioned Sarvas. He will slot right in there next to Juninho, you'd expect. Here's the thing, though. Only 14 games max, according to my calculations, with Gerrard in regular season. If he comes in from the very beginning of July, his first game could be, although I think the window opens up on the 8th, but I believe that's out of contract players. So we'll see what happens with all that. I'll get some clarification on that here soon. But it could be either July 4th at home against Toronto, which would be a massive game, or the 17th at home against San Jose. Both of those big games for LA. Whoa. Something to keep an eye on. Going forward, mentioning Toronto, they're going to host Portland 5 Eastern on Saturday on TSN MLS Live. They're going to do it without Jozy Altidore. He is out for 4 to 5 weeks, according to the club. A strained hamstring. Where have we heard that one before? How will they cope? It looks like, who's it going to be up top? I mean, it's Luke Moore probably, but
I think it should be Robbie Finley. I think it should be Robbie Finley with Osorio and Jackson on the wings. Robbie Finley clearly isn't a winger. Osorio, I think, brings a spark when he's in the game. This is a team that's probably going to have to be solid at the back if they're going to get results. Simon's about to jump down my throat. With Jozy out.
He's just patiently waiting.
But with Jozy out, I mean, the way it's been already, they haven't been that explosive for the most part. With Jozy out, they're going to have to be solid at the back. They're going to have to defend with numbers to do that. And they're going to need Jovinko, Osorio, and maybe Bradley to give them a spark individually to get goals.
I would love to see Bright DK.
Oh, yeah.
Regain
the forgotten
position.
Man.
Is he even
forgotten
there?
In your eyes. Not in my eyes.
I don't think he's even there.
Nigerian international.
He's at San Antonio. They might be able to recall him, but I'm fairly certain.
Bright DK, to me, is the player I would like to see. Luke Moore and Robbie Finley are, of course, excellent players, but Bright DK's speed, his movement, his ability to run behind, pair that with Jovinko, I think he could be a danger man and could take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah, and you know what Toronto's saying right now is that Michael Bradley will be moving up the field. He's going to be an attacking midfielder for them going forward, at least for now. So
that sounds like a bad idea.
I think it's more of a – explain.
I think that there's this German coach who coaches with one of the national teams in CONCACAF who's tried that, and we've seen how it – Michael Bradley is phenomenal when there are runners in front of him. Michael Bradley doesn't normally create with his feet. He creates with his vision and ability to slot passes into areas that defenders don't anticipate. He needs runners in front of him. The farther forward he is, the less players there are in front of him for him to make a difference.
Did we not already go through this when the national team played, how well Michael Bradley played and how well how he finally found his position in a diamond at the top of the diamond?
And according to Greg Vanney, it will be a diamond. I don't know about that, Simon. I don't know.
It's worked perfectly for Bradley.
Okay, the absolutes here maybe not your best route. I'm not sure I agree with that. Look,
boy,
it's going to
quickly we forget the games, huh?
What game? The one Mexico friendly when they tie 2-2?
And the game preview prior to that. Which one was that?
I don't know. You tell me. You tell me. Every game that Michael Bradley's played well.
He was good against Turkey in that position. But most of his telling balls came from a little bit more withdrawn. And you had guys like Fabian Johnson making runs that he could put the ball into. We will see what happens. It's a big game against Portland on Saturday. Of course, maybe the biggest game of the weekend from a personal standpoint, NYCFC RSL. NYCFC headed to Utah. They will take on Jason Christ's old team. So he's returning to his roots. Here's what he had to say about it. A lot of incredible memories there, a lot of very, very close friends and special times. It'll hopefully be a great occasion. I'm a little more focused on the match, obviously. Maybe if we were a team at the top of the table right now, we could talk more about reminiscing and the beautiful affair it's going to be. This is right where the Kyle Beckerman interview would have dropped. Dave and I, I guess that we're going to have to recap this thing. So what did we take away from it? What did Kyle have to say?
Wait, let me get my dreadlocks on.
Okay.
Dreadlocks are on.
Don't do this. It's bad enough. What are you going to do? You're going to put dreadlocks on to what?
Okay.
Speak
right.
Like Kyle Beckerman?
Kyle, what do you make of Jason coming back? What's the...
Oh, nah. It's just like, you know, me and him are bros and we just hang out and it's going to be great and we're just looking to play. Just play some soccer.
What Boy. Kyle... Yeah.
Boy.
Terrible
How
Kyle
was
Beckerman.
That?
Yeah, we're going to kill the Kyle Beckerman impression
right now.
Was it that
right
far
now.
Off? Look, here's what Kyle had to say. He's not that focused on this game. I think both he and Christ, you can see it in both of them. Look, if we were at top of the table right now, we could focus on reminiscing.
What else are they going to say?
This
is classic.
No,
but
that's
what
coach
I'm saying.
Coach speak, player speak.
But the other thing I think is interesting is he brought Beckerman in to be a linchpin of his team. They've been together so long. And we could see, now it's harsh saying this and no one else being able to hear it,
yeah.
The similarities between their personalities and how competitive they are and how focused they are. And that it's not going to be an emotional – it's going to be – interesting. It's going to be different. There
it's
is
also,
emotion.
There's a year removed, too. So you don't have the same kind of emotion a year and a half later than you do the year after he leaves. If he immediately would have taken the helm, I think it's a different story.
Who's more desperate to beat the other team? Christ beating Real Salt Lake or Beckerman beating Christ?
It has to be RSL.
Really? You think so?
RSL beating NYCFC.
I think it has to be RSL because I think they have to – with the way this season started, they have to prove that they're better than what Christ left for. Mm-hmm. Jeff Kassar has to prove that what he's building is better than what Christ is building and that they had the head start and they need to show that they're the better team.
Christ, so, I mean, you got to believe the competitor in Christ wants to crush
I agree.
Salt Lake to say, look at what you're missing out on.
I think the desire probably more
but
for
it's
Christ.
Not that they let him go.
Right.
You know, they wanted to keep him. It's not that Christ is like, oh, you guys didn't respect. I mean, they tried everything they could to keep
him. I think he wants to be at the end of the – everybody does. But when the whistle blows, he wants to be the one that smiles and shakes Jeff Kassar's hand and says, good game, knowing that he won.
Anyone in that position – and picture yourselves. I would love to be able to show my other team, I made you. I come into your house. I beat you because I made you.
And here's what Beckerman had to say about
Christ didn't say that.
No.
That's what
right,
I would
that's
feel.
That's you. Yeah. Beckerman did say in this whole thing, look, we didn't trust the system with Christ until we won that MLS Cup in 2009. And I think that, like, this team from 09 to 13 is going to be forever underappreciated MLS. It was practically an all-star team. When you go down the roster, every one of those guys is an elite player in MLS, and that's why they were so successful. It's a little bit of a tough time for both right now. Now, Beckerman did say it's a new chapter. He didn't say we started over, but he said it's a new chapter.
Yeah, they have the base to build on. It allows them to probably keep their head above water. But we've talked about it. We know João Plata, Javi Morales, Chris Schuler, they're such big keys to what they want to do. And all of them are missing at the same time. And it's just made it tough to try and start this new style.
Yeah, that 4-3-3 not exactly working the way they want it to. Of course, Jason Christ going up against a new style, a new team, a new formation of his own, New York City FC, visiting RSL. Watch that one. MLS Live on Saturday night. That's all for us in this segment. When we come back, we will turn our attention to Sunday. What's up on Soccer Sunday in MLS?
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hey, this is Andrew Farrell from the New England Revolution, and you're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Back now on Extra Time Radio with the guys, Simon Borg, David Goss. A little guest DJ action. I think it's something that we're going to make permanent here on ETR. Yeah, bring it back in. Sean Francis, you may know him as the Offside Rules, also as the former MLS Insider. This is from him on Twitter. We'll get to Bruce McGuire's suggestion. That would be Due Nord for those internet nerds
out
there.
Hold on,
these are
not the common folk.
I know,
I know. Make this
look,
open
it was
to
the
people.
First one was a celebrity.
Are you elevating some people and then you're dropping other people to common
folk?
That's
a little bougie of you. You're trying to
on his red carpet.
This shouldn't be an inside soccer job.
Yeah, look, you're trying to file people into different folders here. You know, there's the good ones and the not so good ones and the common ones. Look, we're gonna have everybody in for this one. Send us an email, shoot us a tweet, tell me why you should be our guest DJ. It's no longer going to be up to the three of us, except for maybe on special occasions. But I want
to
get
like
some...
Like when we have to play Greece.
Right. You wanted to. That's what sparked this. That's what sparked this.
Blast.
So, yeah. Tough. Let's get to the soccer talk. That is real tough. We got a lot coming up here in this second segment. We're going to talk about Sunday first. Soccer Sunday, that is. Both these games on Fox Sports 1. And then we've got a little bit to talk about when it comes to the allocation list and fantasy transfers. This is something that came off of Twitter that I ran with, and I think we're going to have a little bit of fun with. Well, let's start with that first game on Sunday. New York Red Bulls hosting the Philadelphia Union, 5 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 1. This is a little bit of a burgeoning rivalry, but I want to bring it in on this note. We'll get to the game in just a second. We had kind of discussed maybe the similarities and differences between that 2013 DC team, the one that had so much trouble, was historically bad, and this Union team. Trevor Bond responded. He said, "Guys, I'm having a hard time seeing many comparable aspects between the two teams. Aside from the U.S. Open Cup runs, Philly lost when the wheels were falling off, while DC won it all. DC was committed to a vision, and that contained Ben Olsen. Is Philly really behind Jim Curtin? I think it's a no. Additionally, DC stockpiled picks, allocation, and knew how to rework the re-entry draft at a time when they had to make it work without a viable DP solution. Sons of Ben do deserve better," he says. "Sometimes tearing it down is the best way to build it again stronger." So I kind of think that that Trevor's suggesting a rebuild on the Union's part.
Yeah, but like, on what grounds is it not comparable to Ben Olsen? Ben Olsen, at that time that they were having a tough season, it was the personality, Ben Olsen. Mm-hmm. It was what he represented, his love for the club, what he had accomplished, what he represented as a motivator, as a man manager.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't about the
results
at that point.
The respect he had of the players. And I think Jim Curtin, in a large respect, has the respect of the players. He has the respect of the fans. He's already had somewhat of a body of work that we've seen based on last year where he got the group together. I think right now, and we discussed it last show, I think he's had a string of bad injuries.
Here's the thing.
And inconsistent lineups.
But I think the comment here and all the things you talked about were intangibles. Tangible. The question is, when you're building a team, when you're building a squad, is there one thought process or is there multiple people saying, I like the way – everyone has a different theory of the way the game works. Everyone wants to put together a team in a different way. They value different qualities in players. Is there one guy in Philly who's putting together a roster that fits together? Is the question. If Ben Olsen,
no, but his point is in Ben Olsen in the bad year they had in 2013. What did you have to hang your hat on then?
You didn't. But here's what he's saying. He's saying that there was a vision, and that vision is
vision?
And that's the vision that's coming to fruition now. They go out and get all these American players. They say, you know what we're missing?
That's
we're missing
my point,
guys that
though.
Know. I know. I know.
It came after.
Sure, but you have to get the.
But
time.
You need one person who has the vision, and at the same time, we talked about it actually. Right
or
after
multiple
it
people
happened.
That can work together because David Kasper, obviously, him and Olsen are the ones. That
and
put
not
this
one
together.
Person can do it, but they had a ton of allocation coming up. They had the top draft pick. By winning the Open Cup, they had another opportunity to get a lot of allocation money to go to CCL to get even more. So they were a bad team that then all of a sudden had a lot of room. And what did they do? They went out and they signed guys that I think a lot of people thought were being overpaid for what they were worth, but they were veterans of MLS, and it's been successful. That's what they went out and did. They had the opportunity. They had the openings. I don't know what the tools are that Philly has to go about.
Well, you heard Kyle Beckerman say, or we recapped, I guess, that, look, it takes a moment of actually winning for teams to come together. You don't convince guys until you win. So I think Curtin had a little bit of that last year, and that's probably what's put him into this year. That's probably what got him this job. I think he needs to recreate that, get those guys around him. It's going to be tough. This is a tough game for them. Quickly, actual thoughts on the game. New York has been a little bit stagnant lately. They haven't been the same kind of force that they were at the beginning of the season. Philly, of course, getting that last-second win. In my fantasy video this week, I picked a shutout for the Red Bulls. I don't think Philly have got the attacking horses right
Philly
now.
Philly also going to be missing Vitoria as well as Gattis, Williams? It's going to be a pretty suspect back line, I do believe. So it should be good for the Red Bulls to take advantage offensively. I think it should be a big day for them at home.
Look, the Red Bulls, you said they're not as sparkling as they were in the beginning of the year. I think the results might not look that way, but their play has been pretty steady, I would argue.
Yeah, they were good against Dallas. I'll give them that.
They were. They just couldn't get the goals. So they are clearly the favorites in this game, but I think Philadelphia slowly coming together. I wouldn't be shocked if there was a surprise in this
game. All right, the second game on the night, San Jose hosting Orlando. This one's at Levi's Stadium, which is a little bit interesting. Avaya, of course, just opening up this year, but they'll be in the big building, 7 p.m., Fox Sports 1. And the big story from this one clearly centers around Chris Wondolowski. He is on the hunt for 100 goals. He wants to be the ninth MLSer to join the Century Club. And the incredible thing about Wando is that if he does this, say he does this in this game, say he does this in the next like 5, 6, 7, 8 games, he will actually be, I believe, the second quickest MLS player to 100 goals. Who's the first? I'm going to do a little trivia question for you here, Dave. You had a deer in the headlight
Landon,
look.
Landon Donovan?
No. I'm sure that Simon knows, right? You know the first, the guy who got to 100 first, the quickest.
Carlos
right?
Ruiz?
Mm-mm. Taylor Twellman. Carlos Ruiz, not even in this 100 club. Good try, though, Simon.
Really?
He's still in 98, yeah, so Carlos is going to score 100.
He will very quickly. Yeah, Taylor Twellman scored 100 in 174 games. Unfortunately for him, his career cut short at 101 goals. That's really tough stuff for him. But Wando's at 209 right now. And the most incredible thing about Wando is that he's actually scored almost all those goals since 2010, and that's been in 156 games. So that's 92 and 156. Those 92 goals, 30 more than any other player in that period. Are we underselling Chris Wondolowski somehow, some way? Because I think people still kind of put caveats on his career. Oh, you know, nothing to something guy. Oh, 2014 World Cup. But this guy has been by far maybe even the most efficient goal scorer in MLS history, certainly since 2010.
What happened at the 2014 World Cup? Sorry.
Are you going to play dumb? Yeah. No.
This guy is already on thin ice, and he's pulling that stuff out.
I know. Good.
Hey, I'm going out in a blaze.
Yeah, going out in a blaze of gunfire.
Look, I think that the reason Chris Wondolowski maybe gets short shrift is because of the national media. I don't think the national media puts him on the same level as the big – as the other big stars in MLS, and I don't think that's because of lack of performance. I think it's because, you know, media get behind
the Landon Donovans of the world, the Clint Dempseys of the world,
the media
also
stars, the stars that, I mean, why are they behind Clint Dempsey? Because he perhaps is the captain of the national team.
He went overseas, Wando had success. He was kind of the flag bearer for U.S.
What else can Wando do? I don't know the answer.
I think also a lot of the guys on the list, a lot of guys you talk about that have played in a lot of finals or, like you said, played in Europe. Wondolowski has the one supporter shield, but they never made it to them. Taylor Twellman was in multiple MLS Cup finals. These are the guys you talk about because they were there in the big moments. Wondolowski's mainly been in the regular season, which doesn't discount it in any way, but in terms of having the buzz around it.
On that big national stage.
When we compare him to Taylor Twellman, Wondolowski, Taylor Twellman, national team career, obviously I guess Wando has the edge on Twellman, mm-hmm. but I guess you're right on that one. In terms of MLS, he's got to make a final or two.
Yep. None so far. This list, in case you're not familiar with it, Landon Donovan, number one, of course. Jeff Cunningham, Jaime Moreno, Ante Razov, Jason Kreis, who was actually the first one to get to the 100 club. That's big stuff for him. Dwayne DeRosario, who just retired, of course, Twellman and Buttle. Chris Wondolowski on the bottom of that list. You have to expect he may even have a chance to challenge Landon Donovan. Depending on how long he plays, Donovan up there with 144 goals. Wando's at 99. So he would have to go for a little bit longer. He'd have to be productive, but perhaps a chance to do it. Let's move on just a little bit. We're talking about big-name players. We're talking about maybe guys who played overseas. And that got me to the allocation list somehow, some way through the Twitter wormhole this afternoon. I was just thinking about things to talk about, and I threw out a question that essentially was, if you could invent an MLS transfer, no limit on anything, price, acquisition mechanisms here in MLS, whatever it may be, you just get to assign one guy to one team, who would it be? And the first person that responded was, I apologize if I do not say this right, Vikas Merejita, and he is a DC fan, a U.S. men's national team fan. He said Bedoya to DC, and that immediately turned me to the allocation order, and I thought, hey, we haven't really paid enough attention to this, and specifically the allocation list. So Bedoya to DC, that's a good one. I think I have better places I would send Alejandro Bedoya, but we are going to send Vikas some gifts, some DC United swag. Congratulations, Vikas. Those will be coming in the
mail. Because he gave us his opinion as to where Alejandro Bedoya should go.
Yeah, because he was the first to pull the trigger. Look, I give things out for whatever pulls my heartstrings, and this did. So Alejandro Bedoya, I'm going to go through a list of guys with you guys. I'm interested to know where you would send them in this allocation fantasy world. And let's start with Bedoya. Where are you going to go? Is it going to be DC?
I go Portland.
Portland,
if we're playing this game.
Okay.
I think he'd fit the Caleb Porter system. And I think the fans there have been clamoring for a U.S. national team guy for a while, no? So give him Bedoya.
Okay. What about you? Where are you sending him?
I'd send him to Houston. I'd let him play in that center midfield role behind Barnes and Kubo or Barnes and Bruin, and I think he'd create a lot of goals for that team, and then he'd get a lot of goals coming in late into the box.
Okay. I said Orlando. Maybe like a replacement for Molino. He's the guy that tucks in. Breck Shea's the north-south guy. And maybe Toronto. We all know Toronto needs some help on the wings, and I think Bedoya could be.
You can't pick two. Come on.
You know, I have to. All right, I picked one. I'm going to go Orlando. What about Tim Ream? Where are we sending Tim Ream? If he comes back two times player of the year at Bolton.
TFC. They need defenders, and they need versatility. He can play center back, and he can play at fullback, and so that, I think, would be huge for them.
NYCFC. Stokes the rivalry with the Red Bulls, the ex-Red Bull guys, and they need center backs.
You would stoke. That was on my list, but since I can only do one team, this is Dreamland. I'm putting him on LA. Think about Tim Ream on the left, Omar Gonzalez on the right. LA is cycled through center backs there. That could be the best center back tandem in MLS. Moving on, the beard, Tim Howard. He's not playing for the U.S. national team right now, but still would be at the top of the upper echelon of MLS keepers, if not the very, very best. Where's he go, Simon? Let's mix up the order.
Philadelphia Union.
Goalkeeper
controversy is now erased.
Shouldn't have let him go first.
I know. He stole it from both of us. My number two, since that I'm not allowed to have, was NYCFC, just because him in New York, and you mentioned stoking the rivalry. I think Tim in Brooklyn with that beard and the silly flat bills he wears, I think he'd fit.
I'll send him to DC United. Swap with Bill Hamid.
Huh? Send Hamid to Everton? I kind of
wherever
like
in Europe he chooses to go, and Tim Howard gets to take over.
All right. Jeff Cameron, going to Simon again.
Revs, let him go home.
God, I got to not go to you first anymore. Yeah, I say Revs. I say it's not this year.
And that we don't need Jermaine Jones at center.
Right, Jermaine Jones. What I'm saying is Jermaine Jones, who knows what happens with him after this year? His contract expires. All of a sudden you have a younger local version in Jeff Cameron. He can play center back if you want to. He probably prefers to play in midfield. Think about Scotty Caldwell and Jeff Cameron for the long term. Are you going to go Revs? You got something else here?
No, well, we're doing Dream, right? Wherever?
Wherever you want.
This whole segment is Dream.
Simon doesn't like Dream.
For some people, it's a bad dream.
Killer Simon Borger.
I'd send him to Vancouver, and they'd win CCL, I think, within a year. I think if you bring him in at center back.
Hold on. You bring Jeff Cameron in at center back for Vancouver, and they win CCL.
They have all of the attacking pieces. You put him next
to
Waston.
Waba in front of them. I'm kind of liking this. You're convincing me. They got a shot in CCL.
You're saying that Vancouver, all they need to win CCL is Jeff Cameron.
I'm saying Jeff Cameron would help them do it.
All right. No, you said they would win CCL.
Okay. That doesn't mean they can't.
Wake up from your dream.
He's so angry.
So he can kill it? I mean, seriously, dream killer over here. Fabian Johnson. Where are we sending him, Simon?
DC United. They need a left back.
You're going to play him, and you're going to play him at left back?
He's not a left back. Yeah. He's not a left back.
He's totally a left back.
You think
he's
coming?
A starting
he'll,
outside
he'll
mid
play where
champions.
I ask him to play. He's playing at left back.
In fantasy world, Simon Borg rules the day. Where are you sending him?
I'm going to send him to Orlando and replace Kevin Molino in that midfield as well, give them another attacking option, a little bit of speed.
Why are you replacing him? So you have him never coming back from his injury.
Clearly,
my
that's
no. Gosh. He's coming back, but you know, it's good. Then you have a good rotation there.
But
who
you
knows?
Skipped the one that I was so excited about.
Which one was that?
Julian
Green. Oh yeah, I was coming to that. I was saving that for Simon. That was Simon's dessert. His yes. Not so just dessert.
Simon's trying to pick out a PDL.
Simon
team.
Doesn't. What? No, what do you think? What are you thinking here? I'm not letting you go first again this time.
Oh really?
Okay. Yeah, it's Dave.
Julian Green. I think there's only one place you can send a player like Julian Green.
Where's that?
LA Galaxy, of course.
He's
right?
Replacing Landon Donovan on the left wing.
Oh
for the LA
my
Galaxy.
God.
Oh, I
think there's no question about it.
So he wants to put him in the most high-profile setting he can. Yeah. I want to send him. What coach would really mold him and really get his hands into? I want him under Dominic Kinnear in San Jose. See how
oh
you
my
like
God.
That.
That might Julian not work
Green.
Out.
The Tommy
well,
Thompson, though. Julian Green wing options there would
Ooh.
Be exciting for fans to watch.
Ooh. Do we think that here's a real question on Julian
I would
Green.
Love to see how Julian Green comes out.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
From under Dom Kinnear's
non-fantasy. Hands. Let's. I'm removing you from the fantasy world. Let's say Julian Green does come to MLS. Is he a starter? Because I went through.
Yeah, he's not.
I yes, went through all the teams. I went through all he's the teams, not. And there were not many that I said, "Yeah, he'd get in that team and
yeah,
start."
Yeah, I believe he's a starter. Give me a team that you think. I mean, I think
give
he would
me
start
a team that you think he'd
I think
start
he could
for.
Start for RSL. I think he could start for LA right now.
Okay.
I think he could start
RSL.
For
like
starting for RSL over Jared Allen.
Right. Well, okay, so Jared Allen has 2 good weeks, and you're on board, Simon?
By the way, is it Jared? No.
No.
Jordan.
I, yeah.
Jordan.
I was just going to let you drown.
Jared Allen
yeah.
plays defensive
yeah,
end
I was just
going to
let you drown on that one.
No, I think there are a lot of teams that he could come in and start for. I think he could potentially battle with Finley and Merrim even.
No.
In
what is
no
this guy
way.
Talking about? I
no
mean,
way.
This guy has given us so much grounds to –
Yeah, it's been a tough show for him. It's been, I mean, we're.
I'm just throwing out the balloon just in case brutal. Julian Green's looking for a full time podcaster
okay.
to move in with him.
All right, maybe roommate scenario. How about this last one? I asked for dream MLS fantasies. Here's some of the ones I got from folks on Twitter. This is any player, no matter what. Andrew Sullivan says Gareth Bale to Dallas. He's going to put Castillo on one side, Gareth Bale on the other. That feels like 2 left footers, though, so that's tough. Yeah, we have an appearance from
Dr. Borg.
Dr. Borg. I don't know if you ever saw that picture on Twitter. If you haven't, go check it out. It's terrifying. Footy BKB, who actually inspired this. Thanks, Footy. Shaqiri, Zerdan Shaqiri, the Swiss international, or Joey Barton to Portland. I think Joey Barton could actually be an interesting one. Shaqiri would just be great on the field, but Barton would be he'd be a crazy person.
He's an exhausting personality.
He is.
He's constantly exhausting.
I had to unfollow him on Twitter. It had to happen. Patrick Daggs, Zlatan to Philly because we need at least one soccer player. Tough times for Philly fans, obviously. Chris Hapka, also with Philly, Super Mario, he's sending that way. Scott Keith, he says send Big Sam and Andy Carroll to the Rapids in a few years. That one's interesting. I don't know where that one came from.
Well, it seems
must
like
be
Colorado,
a West Ham fun.
Colorado yeah. has this big love with Irish and UK strikers right now. They're yeah. rumored after another one. They just got Kevin Doyle, so Andy Carroll fits
that's the
that.
Scouting network. We had Pedrig on this show a little while back. And then the best one I got, Michael D on Twitter, Pep Guardiola for Siggy Schmidt, but only for Cascadia matches, so he matches up with Caleb Porter. That one was by far the best one. I would be interested in seeing that one. That would be some juicy drama for sure. That's it. Hey, let's move on to the mailbag. We got some good stuff coming right up, including Simon's one-liner on David from the last show.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Kekuta mani la tuda mani dama play zangu kwa white cast and mangzi extra time like yini diwaha generalisi.
Back now on Extra Time Radio. Simon
now,
Borg.
Simon, I don't. I
physically
whoa,
trying to
that
threaten.
Music. That music was brought down way too quickly.
Well, I was trying to leave it up so that it would just maybe some of it would course through your Maltese veins and just calm you, Simon. Simon's still bitter over
David,
some of
you're
the technological
the show.
Issues.
He's
that
messing
we have.
With the show still.
Simon, I think that there's something. I need to sit you down and you need to watch the commercial because you shouldn't cross the line. Because right now you're crossing the line. You're bullying
this is, me. There's some bullying
you're
going.
You're bullying.
I will carve lines into you. That's what I'm
going to do. Oh, wow. That is going far over the edge on that note. Massive Attack from Do Nord, Bruce McGuire. Remember, if you want to be our guest DJ, we're gonna ship this one out to other people. Hit us up at Extra Time Radio, extratime at MLSsoccer.com. We mentioned in the first segment this idea of a rivalry between the Crew and the Fire, and we gave our sides on it, and then I put it on Twitter, and Crew fans went absolutely crazy. They're not happy with the Men in Red. I didn't realize that there was this much animosity between these two. If
it
you
seems
read
to
through,
be, and now we don't know this is a small sample size. There seems to be a large animosity from one side.
Yeah, we're not hearing much from the Crew, although we just did.
From Chicago.
Yeah, that's what I meant. We did just get a tweet from the Men in Red 97 that says, "Yeah, we hate the Crew. You know, we like Eric Gehrig, but." Background with them is not good. But the most of it, they're all coming after Bridgeview. That seems to be a big thing. They say there is no team in Chicago. There's only a team in Bridgeview. They even started a hashtag for this, 312 for Crew SC. They're trying to lay claim to the city.
The first tweet we got, like a minute after we sent it out, was a picture of the Michael Jordan statue in front of, I don't know what it's called anymore, the United Center, wearing a Columbus Crew scarf. So... Nice
is it real or photoshopped?
It was real.
Pretty sure it was real.
It would
real.
Be a great Photoshop job if it wasn't. What Simon, what's the rivalry? Because you know.
Look, these two teams need to meet in an important game.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. We've heard about the rivalry. We've heard of the rivalry. We've heard of the traveling fans. But, like, they just need to meet in an important game. In a game where, you know, maybe a playoff spot's on the line. Or Open Cup, I think they've come across each other before. It's just, like that's what they need. We talked about Wondolowski needing the big game to kind of elevate him. This rivalry to elevate itself needs a big
Yeah, you
big
need
game.
Those big state games. What's one from back in the day, old man Borg, since you've been around since day one, that doesn't
yeah,
exist
anymore?
What
can I help you with that?
Yeah, that was really, really, like, heated back then. But that just, like, faded away.
Well, Sonny, I need to tell you that back in the day...
This is definitely not what your dad sounds like. This is, I don't know. This is like Grandpappy Winkle or something. This is a unique experience today.
Dallas-Chicago was really heated back in the day. We're talking late 90s. Dallas-Chicago, there was bad blood. But because they had playoff matches that they faced each other for a couple of years in a row in the playoffs. And so that was pretty mean-spirited stuff. That's the one that really stands out to me. The Dallas Chicago, it's still called the Brimstone Cup,
yeah.
But people might be scratching their heads. What's up with this
Brimstone
Cup? Yeah,
because Dallas doesn't have any sort of flame in there.
Yeah, it used to be the Burn, of course. Since old man Borg is here giving you a history lesson, this might have to be a recurring thing for us. We bring in old man Borg to tell us about what happened in years past. Yeah,
anytime, Andrew.
Gather around my knee, youngins.
Okay. Do we get butterscotches?
We should.
No,
we should.
When you rub my knee a
yeah,
little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, Weathers. Weathers or Weathers. Yeah, that's what we want. Those little hard candies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the stuff right there. We're moving on. Marlon Argueta in Crofton, Maryland. As he says, Kyle Beckerman's hometown. Man, it's a tough day for people associated with Kyle Beckerman, including us. He says, guys, I've been busting my brain about what term to use for rivalries in MLS. He refuses to use Darby, Derby, Farby, or Furby. He's not going to use any of those. He says he's an American history major and he has a ton of useless knowledge about history. So he's reading a book about Andrew Jackson's time at the White House, and as soon as he saw the word, he knew it would be a perfect fit. Duel. Dueling has a long and rich history in America, from Jackson dueling while in office to the Cowboys of the Old West. Like soccer, dueling came from Europe, and like MLS, dueling could go either way on any given day. Now, I know the word itself isn't flashy, but it fits perfectly in terms of two people or teams going at it, usually for pride. So he's suggesting, like, the Hudson River Duel. Or what would it be?
There's a Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think? Simon's not looking.
Not,
no, he's not looking
not
too happy
well.
About this.
He
one.
Also left out Alexander Hamilton when talking about famous duels. Just saying.
There you go. Old man Gossin here, bringing us with their history.
It's one of
lessons.
The big duels in U.S.
So are we
history.
Saying no to duels?
I'm not opposed to it. I'm not like probably leading the charge in the front of it, but I like it. I like the concept behind it.
Okay, Marlon.
But I think we're getting away from rivalries or Darby or Derby because there are names. There's the Brimstone Cup. There's the Atlantic Cup.
Right.
What's the Chicago Cup? Chicago Columbus one?
I don't know. I don't think we have one. Is there one? We didn't get any on Twitter. I would think that'd be
one
of the, yeah.
It needs a cup.
It does. That's another one for us to name. Get at us.
I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you.
No, it doesn't have a name?
I'm not going to tell
you. Oh, that's not very nice of you.
If I get brought.
Is it, what did Simon say last week? I think Bill Carroll's about to remind us. Yeah. What is it? Bill Carroll, Red Bulls Section 132. Thank you, Simon, for reminding me of a saying my father always said to me about life. Get your helmet on and get into the game. After David said for the third time, I don't know, you said, get your headset off and get someone else in here. I was laughing so hard I had to pull over the entire show. The boys were all over you about being off your game, and you still came up with a great one-liner. So, Dave, you going to take your you gonna take your headset off and get out of here?
You going to tell us
what that rivalry's called?
Oh, this guy, he's absolutely brought the show
Where you at?
Down.
Come on. You not going to give it to him?
I actually don't know.
This was just a teasing.
I'll tell you on Monday morning if I still work for you.
That's actually a good deal.
Is that what you would do? This team doesn't have a name. You say it does, and now you're lying. So you're going to go out with a lie.
A lot to think about for us today with David Goss, the show, new directions. We don't know what's going to happen here. Either way,
what a stinker by David Goss.
I know.
Goss
look,
today.
we got to take off. We got to end this now for the guys. David Goss, Simon Borg,
stinking Goss.
I am Andrew Wiebe. Make sure you tune into the action this weekend. Thank you for Kyle Beckerman for speaking to us, whether or not it worked out perfectly or not. A massive game on Saturday night between RSL and New York City FC. I'm sure we'll talk about it on Monday. Until then.